surrounds us. Oh, oh.
The Celebration of Discipline is a book that our youth groups has been studying on the 12 disciplines that we use to grow closer to God spiritually. There are 12 of them that we study as a youth group on Wednesdays and Sundays, and then we went to Winterfest and studied them more in depth, and this is our presentation to you.
Meditation is filling your mind of everything that is God. What I like to do is just find a quiet place somewhere where there's no distractions, no one around me, so I can just sit there and think and just let God take over during that time. After I'm done, I get this feeling of comfort, which makes my day 10 times better because I know that I connect with God. When all
of a sudden, prayer is a way that we worship God. It's a way that we praise God, a way that we ask for help, for strength, for forgiveness, for anything we need. It's a gift God has given us to help grow our relationship, a way to connect with our Maker. Actions are
for me. Fasting is when you give up something for a certain amount of time. To me, fasting can help us. Say if you text like 24/7, you get a challenge to fasting for a week. You think you're going to pass out, but you're not. After that week is over, you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Because like fasting can help you like a lot more than you realize.
When I read the Bible, I always get a sense of understanding and calmness. I love reading stories that people really haven't heard because I feel like I get a different story. It's important to study the Bible so you can learn about God's nature and the mistakes of His people.
Simplicity is the act of outwardly and inwardly simplifying your life, but one cannot go without the other. Simplicity is the act of not wanting worldly possessions or titles. A famous quote goes, "You can buy things you do not want to impress people you do not like." Simplicity fascinates me because it goes against our natural tendencies.
Solitude is alone time with God. It's time spent however you see fit. You and God could talk about what you need to fix. You could talk about everything He's blessed you with. Or maybe you're just chit-chatting about how good your day's going. But this time is spent alone with God. It has no judging, it has no impressing, and it has no pretending. As David Bowden puts it, it's a candlelit dinner for two, away from the eyes of others, and alone with my Father. Love's like a
hurricane. Submission is a state of mind that you cannot be forced to do. Submission is an inward decision of giving yourself, your life, your soul, your goals, your thoughts, and your ideas over to God. Submitting to God and His direction for your life will make you closer to Him.
Service is a very good indicator on showing how much somebody means to you. If someone isn't very important, you wouldn't really find yourself going out of your way to do something for them. When Jesus did things for people He didn't have a relationship with, they knew that He really cared about them. Personally, that's why I think serving people is not only being like Jesus, but showing that person means something to you and to God. And that puts a smile on God and their faces.
Worship is one of the 12 disciplines that we use to grow closer to God. It's not just singing, but it's also not just on Sunday mornings. It's an everyday, every moment thing. Some people do with simply singing, some people do it with praying, some people do it with acts of service. Worship is one of the biggest ways that we can grow closer to God because it's easy and it comes naturally to us. Like a hurricane,
I am a tree. Guidance is like leading. God is giving you guidance every day. He's helping you try to make the right decision. Say you're having trouble and you pray about guidance, you ask God for guidance, and later on you see how God is giving you guidance through your prayers.
Confession is one of the spiritual disciplines that we studied at Winterfest this year. I feel like that confession is, in a way, a gateway to the other disciplines. Without being completely open and trying to hold things back as impossible as that is, keeps us from being able to truly worship God in His entirety. Whenever we're afraid of retribution and of punishment, then we can't be open and honest with, and we can't be express our feelings as well. So, in a way, confession is just necessary in order for you to continue in your spiritual life in any way.
The last discipline that we have studied is celebration. And celebration is something that you might not consider a discipline, something that you have to practice. But as Christians, we really need to, because we're often seen as very serious and very somber. But we need to celebrate, and we need to practice that. Think about the things that you do when you celebrate something, like your team winning or your birthday. You throw a party for it, and you smile and you laugh, and you might even shout about it. So we need to do that about our God. We know the God that created the world, and we know that He loves us. So we need to celebrate that. And I think our youth group does a wonderful job of this. They love getting together and talking about how God is working in their lives. And I think all of us can learn from them.
The discipline that I'm going to be talking about this morning is meditation. So what is meditation? Whenever I say meditation, most of you probably think of a Buddhist monk high in a temple attempting to separate himself from personal identity and join with the universe. But truly Christian meditation, simply put, is about creating a space, emotionally and spiritually, that allows Christ to construct a sanctuary in our hearts. It's not about emptying ourselves, but about filling ourselves with God and the Holy Spirit. By relaxing our mind from the busy nature of our world today, we allow ourselves to better focus on listening and obeying God. This is especially difficult to accomplish in our busy world today. As a psychiatrist named Carl Jung put it, "Hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil." Focus is not at all easy, and in truth, no one can ever really teach you how to meditate. Meditation is something that you have to develop a skill for. I can try to show you where to start. So how do we meditate? There are four key things that it mentions in the Celebration of Discipline to help focus when you're trying to meditate. You can listen to God's Word. You can reflect on God's works. You can recall God's deeds, and you can study God's law. The main goal in all of this is to have a personal and purposeful encounter with God. Biblically, it describes in Matthew 14:13 that Jesus, as Jesus is prone to doing, he wanders off. He went to a lonely place apart. But one other thing to note is that he does not just go away from people. He goes towards his Father. If we simply empty ourselves without filling with Christ, it can be hazardous. The easiest way for us to fill ourselves is through the four points of listening, recalling, recalling scripture, reflecting, and studying. The easiest way to start meditating for us is to take a passage from the Bible. It could be a verse, a chapter, or even a whole book, as long as it's a complete thought. Then go to wherever it is you choose to meditate, preferably away from distractions and hurry of life. I enjoy going into the wilderness, somewhere where I can't hear cars or phones ringing. And then you just read your passage and dissect it. Don't look at it as a text, but more as a note from God to you. What would He mean if He had said these things directly to you? However you wish to begin your meditating, it's truly up to you. Another thing you can always do to help is to pray. Pray for God to grant you the patience necessary to meditate, because if you're like me, forcing yourself to not be busy is stressful, and sometimes it can be boring. Pray for guidance in your thoughts, and pray that God will come and fill you. So what does meditation do for the rest of your life? At first, you really don't feel any different. Maybe you're a little bit more relaxed, but over time, it will become less difficult for you to know what to meditate on. The goal is to feel God's presence with you, and as you think and meditate on all things God, Meditation is an inward discipline, but I've learned that all of the disciplines are really intertwined. And meditation can be very helpful in trying to clarify our crazy lives. The celebration describes discipline, describes meditation, as that it sends you back into the world with a greater perspective and balance. Applying what we learn through meditation can increase our intimacy with God and give us a greater ability to interpret God's purpose in everything. Meditation is really the focus that we need to truly live a God-centered life. When you devote your mind to Him, everything else will follow suit.
My portion of the sermon this morning is about solitude. You see, solitude isn't really about a place. It's more of a state of being or a mindset, because you don't have to go off into the wilderness, though you can. You need to get away from distractions where you can focus on God. Though you may find it easier to think when you're on a mountainside or in a forest, you really don't need to be, because you can find solitude anywhere that you need to. While seeking solitude, it is important to just be alone with God, one-on-one. For example, in Matthew 4, 1 and 2, it says, Jesus in the wilderness by himself, led by the Holy Spirit for 40 days and 40 nights before being tempted. So he was out there in the wilderness by himself, in solitude, to be ready to be tempted by the devil himself. And the Holy Spirit led him out there, because God knew that he needed the time to pray for strength in the wilderness. There's another example in Matthew 14:22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So whenever you look at that passage, you first see that he sends the disciples off and then sends the crowd off and goes up onto the mountainside to pray and be alone in solitude. You see Jesus do this a lot of times throughout Scripture, and he just goes off by himself in solitude to think about what is going on and think and pray and be alone with his Father. Seeking solitude does not look the same for everyone all the time. You don't have to go anywhere, but you can go anywhere that you want to. You don't need to go hiking or bicycling, but you might find that really helpful, like I do. Like whenever the school year started, I started to ride my bike a lot to school because I was really stressed out and I just needed some time alone with God to think about it and think about how I'm going to go through my day and see what is he trying to guide me to do. But you don't need to be by yourself. You can find solitude in a crowd. All you just need to do is close your eyes, think about God, block out your surroundings, and just have a one-on-one conversation with him. Since solitude is a state of being, it's not really being alone, as I have said. It's feeling alone with God. It's easy to see why we need solitude, since we need it to let God guide us through our lives. It seems rather simple just to let him be there instructing us just one-on-one, instead of trying to figure it out while you're trying to go through the busyness of your life. The beautiful thing about solitude is the key to finding solitude is to practice it. Once you've experienced solitude, you can find it later, anytime that you need it, anytime, anywhere, so that when you need it, whether you're in a crowd, in the wilderness, or even at work or school, you can find it. And you need to remember why you're seeking solitude. You just need to get your mindset into, I need to let God guide my life, and I need to get anything that you have on your heart and just give it to God. So remember to seek solitude.
I would like to start off with a passage from the chapter of simplicity. When we are truly in this interior simplicity, our whole appearance is franker, more natural. This true simplicity makes us conscious of certain openness, gentleness, innocence, gaiety, and serenity, which is charming when we see it near to and continually with pure eyes. Oh, how amiable this simplicity is! Who will give it to me? I leave all for this. It is the pearl of the gospel. This quote basically sums up the whole discipline. Simplicity is an outward and inward decision, but one cannot go without the other. Having an inward simplicity with no outward appearance is fooling yourself of this discipline, and vice versa. When one simplifies their life, their speech becomes more honest and true. When your life is duplicated, you make decisions out of reason at first, then the following decisions are out of fear of what people will think. The want for a fancy title or position of power will go away. The excessive need for things to impress people will also disappear. Reading through the chapter of simplicity, one phrase kept on sticking out at me. We buy things we do not want to impress people we do not like. Then the famous phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, kept on coming to mind. After doing some research on this phrase, I found out that there was a comic strip back in 1936, and we're still trying to keep up with them. Now, simplicity doesn't mean you cannot aspire for things or aspire for greatness or have nice things. But it is when one sets all of that focus onto those things and off of God. Simplicity is easy to stray away from because it goes against our natural tendencies. This is why the discipline takes active attention and constant watching of what you are doing.
Today I chose to speak about worship. To worship is to experience reality, to touch life. It is to know, to feel, to experience Christ in the midst of the gathered community. There are people that go to church and worship because it's a requirement. That is not worship. God doesn't want you to worship because you have to. You praise God for who He is and thank Him for what He has done. I want to worship and allow Him to move through every action I do. When you want to worship and you want to be surrounded with others who want to worship, you will feel the presence of God, whether it's singing, taking the Lord's Supper, praying together, or taking the Lord's Supper. You will feel the presence of God. We must come prepared to worship both in heart and mind. The purpose of worship is to stop all human activity and become a spiritual being totally connected to God. Here are just a few simple steps to you into true worship. Worship God daily. Worship is not just for Sundays. Take time every day out of your busy schedule to worship the God that allows you to have that busy schedule. Find ways to prepare for worship so that you are ready. Pray for God to open your heart. Meditate on God's words. Use any of the disciplines to prepare your mind. Do something as simple as when you're picking out your clothes each day. Think about what you're going to wear to worship God. Be willing to be gathered together before the Lord. And that brings me to Winterfest, how we're all sitting in the cabin, surrounded by each other, just worshiping God. Be thankful for the distractions. You see a little kid crying in the corner. Don't be annoyed at it. Be thankful that he's there. Or if you see somebody not paying attention, still be thankful that he's there. God calls for worship that involves our whole being, the heart, body,
mind, spirit, and emotions should be laid before God on the altar of worship.
Good morning. I chose to talk about celebration this morning because as a youth group, we've come to the revelation that celebration is more than having parties and being with people. Celebration is an overflow of joy from the heart through physical acts like singing, dancing, laughing, or shouting, or giving gifts at events like birthdays or graduations. But as I prepared for my lesson this week, I noticed some similarities between the disciplines of worship and celebration. They are both ways that we praise God, but what sets them apart from each other is how worship takes the physical forms, like singing, and brings our hearts to God in an inward way, where celebration is from the heart, giving thanks and praise in an outward way. But today, I want to ultimately answer one question, and that is, why do we celebrate? One reason that we celebrate is because it brings us joy, and joy gives us strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Without joyous celebration, we will eventually abandon all other disciplines. I used to take guitar lessons for about 6 years, and I didn't practice ever because I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like what I was learning, and I didn't like how I had to practice to play what they had given me. And eventually, I gave up and just quit playing. But as many of you know now, I play guitar 6-7 days out of the week because I love what I'm playing now. I love what I learn, and I take joy from that. And that's why I do it continuously throughout my week. Another reason that we celebrate is because it removes anxiety. What are you worried about at a party? I took a AP U.S. History exam. It was a midterm, so it counted for 20% of my quarter grade. I had been studying for, weeks because I was, between an A and a B. And, I really wanted that, the good grade to bring my, my overall grade for that quarter, even higher. I was stressing about it all week. The day of the test I was stressing. And then even after the test, I was worried about, whether or not I was going to get that grade. I went to a birthday party that day for one of my friend Kayla at, Casa Mexico. And I wasn't worried about the grade anymore because I was, having fun with my friends. And the anxiety of that test was lifted because I wasn't thinking about it because I was celebrating my friend's birthday. The number one command in all of Scripture is do not worry. Jesus says, do not worry, but instead rejoice. If we fill our lives with good, simple things and constantly thank God and rejoice for them, we will be full of joy. The final reason that we celebrate is because we are called to. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do you ever wonder why Paul says that twice? It's because it's important. The discipline of celebration is the permission to celebrate. God says, it's okay to be happy that you are saved. We don't celebrate to cross it off of our discipline checklist. We celebrate because our hearts are overflowing with joy because for our love for our God. And when we understand that, how can we not celebrate?
You got another tale. I struggled for a little while trying to figure out and trying to come up with a summary for this. What the boys have done is just a very small representation of what Richard Foster presents in his book. He wrote this book. Originally, it was printed in 1978. Chapter 1. Superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. The spiritual disciplines of the spiritual life call us to move beyond surface living into the depths. We must not be led to believe that the disciplines are only for spiritual giants, and hence beyond our reach, or that they are for only the contemplatives who devote all their time in prayer and meditation. Far from it. God intends the disciplines of the spiritual life to be for ordinary human beings. People who have jobs, who care for children, who wash dishes, who mow lawns. In fact, the disciplines are best exercised in the midst of our relationships with our husbands or wives, our brothers and sisters, and our friends and neighbors. And one more quick passage. In one important sense, the spiritual disciplines are not hard. And there's an asterisk there, and he goes on to explain that they can be. We need not be well advanced in matters of theology to practice disciplines. Recent converts, or for that matter, people who have yet to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, can and should practice them. The primary requirement is a longing after God. You know, last week, Shane in his sermon touched on something that I'd been kind of thinking about, and that is, historically, especially in the Church of Christ, we have focused on the five steps to salvation. You know, you hear the word, you believe the word, you confess, you repent, and then you're baptized. And then after you come out of the baptistry, you come up here and, you know, everybody gathers around and hugs you and loves on you a little bit. And you know, you might get a card in the mail or something like that. But like Shane said, there's no number six there. And I think we have dropped the ball in that. I think we have you know, dunked people in the water, not to disparage that in any way, but we have baptized people, patted them on the back, and said, "Go be a good Christian," without any sense of guidance. Well, what is being a good Christian? What does that look like? Well, okay, being a good Christian is there are these things that we don't do. You know, there are these things that, you know, everybody knows them. You know, we don't do those things. Well, and you know, there's a few things that we do. You know, we try and attend church regularly. We try and serve when we're asked. And, you know, there's a few things that we do as Christians. And those things are very important. But that is not what our God calls us to do. Our God calls us into a relationship with Him. Plain and simple. And out of that relationship, out of that love that He has for us and that we have for Him, these things don't happen. Out of that love, we go to church, we serve, we do these things. The spiritual disciplines are simply a gateway, a tool. They are disciplines for the Christian life that has been modeled and set out in Scripture time and time again. You know, they're not necessarily commands. However, the argument could be made that in some Scriptures they are commanded. When you pray, pray this way. When you fast, don't do this. You know, Jesus laid that out there for us. So, but they're not necessarily commands. They're more examples for us to follow. So why do we follow those examples? Why do we dive into the spiritual disciplines? Simply to grow closer to God. Our God is a God that desires for us to have a relationship with Him, a real one-on-one personal relationship with Him. That relationship is strengthened When you see God working in your life, when you see Him working daily, when we meditate and we find a new revelation, when we pray and we find answers, when we study and we hear God's voice, when we seek simplicity and we find peace in our lives, when we seek solitude and we find comfort in God's plan for us, our faith is strengthened. Our love for God is strengthened even more when we serve and we become the hands and the feet of Jesus. When we confess and we find the release from sin. When we worship and we truly experience the presence of God. When we seek guidance and we receive the direction. We know that our God is alive and working in our lives when we celebrate and when we express the joy that God has given us. We do these things to find God in our daily life. And when we do that, our faith will be strengthened. And our strength in the Lord will grow. And then we will begin the journey of growing into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. You know, time and time again, Richard Foster talks about just diving in and doing these. Just trying it out. That there is no right or wrong way to do it. It is the practice of spiritual disciplines. If you're here today and you have needs in your life, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus and grown and started into a new relationship with our God, with the Creator of the world, What better example is there than just dive in and practice? You know, we are all beginners in the spiritual disciplines. There's no masters here. We're all beginners in practicing the spiritual disciplines. So what better way to start out understanding how to be a Christian than to know that we are all struggling to do the same? I appreciate the opportunity to be able to guide the boys and young men because they are definitely becoming the young men. But I appreciate the opportunity to be able to guide them and be able to present the idea of the 12 spiritual disciplines to the church. Again, if there are needs, if we can pray for you, if we can help you in any way, you can come forward as we stand and sing.